of today. So no apologies for that. We're going to feed you today. Is that good? We're going to have a good time in the hospitality area in the cafe straight after the service this morning. Being Vision Sunday, there's so many things we need to unpack for our church community. And that phone app is just an amazing communication center for us in every way. We're looking at adding features to it as we go along so that we make it as versatile and practical as we can. We want you to check it on a regular basis and be involved with it and interact with it also. We're going to try and get a section in there where you can do interactive notes along with the sermon, so you're not having to write them in a notebook. You can put them straight into your device, and that way they're stored, you get to keep them, and you've got them forever. So we're just thinking of ways that we can make the journey a whole lot easier for every one of us. Well, today I want to talk to you about moving family forward today. That's our theme for 2020. I've got a few practical things I want to talk about in terms of what we're focusing on for the year before I preach to you this morning. So put your seatbelts on, buckle up, turn to your neighbor and say, get ready. Get ready. Come on, get ready. Vision Sunday is, it's really more than Vision Sunday. We do Vision Month, and so we'll be unpacking our theme over the entire month and breaking it down bit by bit and talking about it to us as a church. But there's a few very important focus points I want to address today, as we do every year. For me, it's one of the most important weekends of the year, as we get to calibrate and align and just affirm who we are as a church and why we do what we do and why we do it the way we do it. We're not trying to do what other churches are doing. We're just trying to do what we believe is right for our house here, for the expression of God's church in our community and towards our world. And so if you've come from another church and you've joined our church, can I ask you to do this? Just realize you left that church and you're now here. Turn to your neighbor and say, be here, be here, be here, be here. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And so in our church, we have a journey. You'll find it on the journey wall out the front in the foyer if you want to familiarize yourself with it. It's got several steps to it. The journey involves connect, grow, serve, reach, and then give. We don't put the give one out in the public foyer because give is, it's like, that's family. That's just for family. We don't need everybody to know exactly every component of what we do. But giving's a big part. But that we talk about giving to our family, to those that are aligned with the vision and the mission of the church, and for others who are still becoming family, for those that are far from God and yet trying to find their way to God. We just want them to know that we want them to connect with God. We want them to grow with us. We want them to serve with us and reach their friends. And then finally, we all learn the family responsibility of being a giver and being a contributor. So I want to talk through each of these just for a few moments. Firstly, to connect and grow. This is the aim that we have for every single person, individual and family in our church. We want to do church together with friends. We don't want to do it with strangers. We acknowledge there's a moment where we're strangers, but we get better relating together as we connect. And so we want to invite you to consider connecting in a deeper way and a more consistent way with us as a church. We have a saying around here that connection is a behavior, it's not a feeling. Connection is a behavior, it's not a feeling. Sometimes people say, I don't feel as connected as I used to feel. Well, that's because the behavior's changed. And so it's always a behavior to be addressed. And so connection is a behavior, not a feeling. So we want our church family to be aware of this, that one of the cultures we develop is a consistency in being here in what we do on Sundays, in our larger gatherings. Sundays are important. And I really think in our Western world, far too many that call themselves followers of Jesus Christ miss far too many Sundays. And so we want to be consistent in being here on a Sunday. So thank you for your support of that. Many of you are totally engaged in that, and we really appreciate that. And we're asking everyone to step up in that. The other aspect of connection is really important. That's in connect groups. Connect groups are what we do during the week in homes, cafes, restaurants, all across our city, where a small group of people between 6 and 12 gather on a fortnightly basis, or even some a weekly basis. There are discipleship groups, there's recreational groups, there's social groups of all kind, and they're just established to help people connect and grow their relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they are a key strategy and core strategy in terms of how we do church. Today we're doing church in rows, just in rows, like theatre style. You're staring at the back of someone's head. When you're in a Connect group, you're around a table. You're in a lounge room. You're at a cafe. You're in a restaurant. And it's in circles. And I love the circle picture of doing church. I love that a whole lot more than I love rows and theatre style. Because circles say that you're interactive. You're engaged. You're involved in the process of what's taking place. So our Connect groups are the way that we disciple people and grow people in church life, where people get together and they care for each other in an organic way, not an orchestrated way, but in an organic way through relationships together. So I want to encourage and invite and welcome you and urge you and compel you and even command you, let's get involved in Connect groups. Let's get involved in Connect groups. We have a high percentage of involvement in our church. I think it's about 80% is the current involvement of Connect groups, but I'm not going to be happy till it's 100. So let's just keep pushing to get as many involved as we can in Connect groups. You know, our church is not a program-driven church. Some churches are program-driven. They have a program for everything that breathes and moves and exists. We're not that kind of church. In actual fact, we're breaking down that model and have been breaking down that model for a number of years. And we're going to break it down further because we're not driven by programs. And so in our church, if you've come from another church, we may not have the same programming that you're used to. We don't believe that programs should drive church. We believe that vision, mission, and values should drive the way that we do church. So we believe more in steps, like next steps, rather than programs. So we won't talk to you like, have you joined that program? Have you joined that program? Have you joined that? We will talk to you about what your next step is in terms of engaging and interacting in church life. So for us, engagement is not through a program, it's not accidental, but it's very intentional through relationship and through small groups, through being involved in Connect groups. Saying that leads to this thought. For men's and women's this year in 2020, we're not having the traditional style of men's and women's ministry in our church any longer. We're doing it a different model, meaning we're not going to have a men's director and a women's director leading a large group and large sector of the church. What we're going to do is run both of those ministries through small groups. And we'll have groups of men, just guys getting together at a cafe, going to the movies, having a pool snooker night or whatever it might be that guys want to connect around. You might want to go drive in Mini Cooper S's. You might want to do something really cool like that. Whatever you want to do, we can get together and connect in various ways. For the girls, you might want to get together and do craft, because we all know girls are crafty. You might want to get together and sew things. I don't know. Build things or whatever you want to do. We can do anything we like. The concept being just connect together. We will host some larger gatherings like breakfast throughout the year, or some collective events where a promo will be thrown up and we're going out for breakfast together at a cafe or something like that. We just want to get people engaging in the natural flow of life. That's how we think as a team it can work best. And so our connection and growth needs to be intentional. Your growth is not going to happen accidentally. There's a lot of adults walking around that are still babies because they haven't been intentional about growth. So growth edges are areas in our life that we need to grow, and we need to apply intent to grow effectively. So first, we want people to connect and grow. Secondly, we want everyone to serve. I think everyone should serve. Jesus said it's a good deal to serve. He said, I came to serve, not be served. And so we believe in serving and joining a team. I think God's called all of us to be servers, not observers. Get rid of the ob and just let's be servers. Let's be servers in the house of God. Church is better when we serve. And then thirdly, reach. This is one of the areas in church life we're really needing to focus on, is to increase our reach and our influence in our personal worlds, also towards our community and the nations of the world. So we want to increase our reach by inviting and bringing. I want to see the number of people that are new guests with us on weekends increase in our church, because the reality is people don't get saved in public settings like this unless they're actually in the public setting. Unless they're here, they don't get saved in this process. And so we want to increase our reach and our inviting ability as individuals and also as a church. And then finally, the last step of the journey is to give, to make sure that we're financial contributors to the house of God, to the heart of God, and everything that God's doing in us and through us as a community of people. So we ask everybody, without exception, to consider engaging with a plan. You know, I have plans for everything. You have plans for everything. We have financial plans. We have social plans. We have holiday plans. We have retirement plans. You have health plans, educational plans. There's plans for everything. You fail to plan, you plan to fail, and particularly in this area of giving and honoring God with our finances. So we're asking people to engage with a plan that honors God and puts God first in our financial lives. It's part of the way we do the journey with God, to honor the Lord with the first part, the best part, the tithe, which means 10% of everything that the Lord blesses us with. He's our source. We know that. We believe that. And we honor Him by giving and presenting our regular, consistent giving to Him through the house of God. So we make it as easy as possible, as Josh talked about today so well on stage, in terms of the phone app. You can give on the phone app. You can give through FPOS at our welcome desk in the foyer. You can give on the offering envelopes or in the actual offering on the day. You can set up electronically in terms of transfers from your bank account, however you do it. You can set up automated giving, because a lot of people, they just forget about it. And when you forget about it, it hurts the vision of the church and the direction of the vision in terms of being empowered to do what we need to do as a church. So can I ask you to consider being really intentional about the way we give? The focus areas of our giving for this year as a church are as follows. For our weekly offerings, our tithes, we need, and we're believing God, for $9,000 per week. It's expensive to run a church. It's expensive to run your house. If you think of what it costs to run your household, your personal household, almost all of your income is used with just your living requirements. And for most people in this room, most families in this room, that's well up over $1,000+ per week just to live, pay your mortgage, pay your car, food, insurances, and education, all of that. Well, we have the same kind of circumstances as a church in terms of the people that we need to salary to get the job done of making church happen, our facility here, payment of our debt, and everything that we do here and moving ministries and life forward. So $9,000, that's a fair leap for us from where we are currently. I think this last year, our average was around about $7,700, somewhere there for the year. Economically, when things get tight, they get tight in church. And so it affects us also. So we're believing God to raise the bar this year towards that. Our vision offering, it's a special offering. We ask everyone just to note the date. It happens October every year. So October 25, we believe to raise a certain amount of money. This year it's $130,000. We've been conservative on that again. That sounds like a lot of money, but it's easy to achieve. It's 130 people giving $1,000 in that offering is 130. So that's really easy for us to achieve. That money helps us in the payment of our debt down, designated towards that and some other vision areas that we'll talk to you about through the year. So October 25, if you can just note that date. And then Impact Care Services is our charity. We love what we do through our charity. We have a food co-op shop here that helps people in all levels and circumstances of life. If you've not visited that, make sure you do. We're believing to raise $50,000 through donations to that. And so we ask people here that are part of our house to take on board the concept of these three areas of giving: our weekly tithes, our vision building offering area, and then also Impact Care Services, our charity. Of course, any donations to Impact Care Services are tax deductible if they are $2 and above. So that's all the business for today. Let's get to some conversation. Vision is important because vision is key to progress. It accelerates our devotion. It brings people in alignment. It points us in the same direction, gets us on the same page. It builds people together, and we're all traveling the same kind of journey together. So that's why it's important for me as a pastor. Now, our vision is a statement that comes from the Bible. And because it comes from the Bible, it's big and it's bold and it's beautiful. It's biblical. And the vision is this: reach the lost, make disciples, build the church. It's not new language. It's been around for a lot of years. Reach the lost, make disciples, build the church. This vision statement doesn't change. We did roll it in, year out, because it's something we'll always be working towards. It has several components. We're here to reach the lost. Reaching the lost is our priority. We exist to bring people that are far from God close to God. That's why we do what we do. Everything we do is tied into that. Is to helping people understand the message of God's good news to them in terms of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins to make our relationship with God possible and to empower us to live a spirit-filled life. And so we want to really make that our focal point and our priority of 2020, that we are here to reach the lost. That means on Sundays, whenever we gather big, we want to create environments that are both inviting and welcoming. Inviting and welcoming. Have you ever been to a place where you were invited to but you didn't feel particularly welcome? It happens from time to time. You get an invite, then you get there and you think, what am I doing here? It's awkward. I don't fit. No one talks to me. No one's friendly to me. And sometimes church can be like that, no matter how friendly we think the church is. And churches are often friendly for those that are already there. And so we've got to be really intentional about making sure not only do we give the invite, but we make people welcome when they come to the house of God. And particularly in what we do as a leadership team, we want to make sure our language, our environments are all both welcoming and also inviting. Secondly, we're here to make disciples. No apologies for this. This is what we're called to do. Making disciples is our priority. The last command of Jesus is always the first priority that we have. We're here to build fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So to break that down, that means we mentor, we coach, we make disciples through everything we do as a church. Whenever we stand on this stage and we talk, we're mentoring, we're coaching, we're developing, we're discipling people. In our connect groups, we're mentoring, we're developing, we're discipling people. In every gathering, the kids upstairs right now, our kids pastor, Pastor Darrell and his leaders, they are mentoring, they are coaching, they are developing people. As we serve together, we're mentoring, we're developing, we're coaching, we're discipling people. As we have our leaders equip nights, we're mentoring, we're developing, we're getting the picture. Everything we do as a church is part of the discipleship process that we have together. And then finally, the last component of our vision statement is we're building the church. That's our priority, to build the church of Jesus Christ. We're not building my ministry. We're not building anyone else's ministry. We're here building the church of Jesus Christ is what we are doing. So we do this by making sure that reaching the lost and making disciples is our absolute priority. Personally, we do it by our engagement with that, and our engagement with God, and our engagement with the church that He has placed us in. Now, here's the thing about vision. That vision will never actually be achieved. It'll never be achieved. You can't achieve this because it's big, it's bold, it's beautiful, it's biblical. Like, I can never come into the office on a Monday and say to my team, you know how we had a plan to reach the lost, make disciples, and build the church? Well, we've done it. We've reached everyone that's lost. We've made all the disciples we can possibly make, and the church is built as big, bold, and beautiful and magnificent as it possibly. I could never do that. So my job is never completed as a team leader, as a pastor. I can never tick it off and say, we've done it. We've done it. But our mission, I can. But our vision, it'll always be in the background, just pushing us forward, just calling us forward, just driving us forward is what our vision will do. It's kind of like NASA. NASA has a vision to explore space. That's what they do. They explore space. They have satellites out there. They send missions out there. At NASA, they're never going to be able to come into the office on a Monday morning and say, hey, guys, you know how we had the plan to explore space? It's done. We've explored everything that there is. So NASA can never do that. But what they can do is they can have a mission. And they do have a mission. Their mission is to put a man on Mars. Now, they can do that. And one day they will come into the office and they're going to go, you know how we had a mission to put a man on Mars? We've done it. Bob's there. He's there. We've sent him. Bob's now on Mars. And so they can tick that off. Well, we can tick the mission off as a church. So the mission is what we focus on now. It's our now focus component as a team. And this is what our team is focusing on for the now that we want to be able to tick off within a few years. And that is this. Our mission is to strengthen engagement by investing in community, connection, and contribution. So I will be steering, and all of our team will be steering people to be engaged fully with God's plan for our lives, for His church, by building community, by building connection, and by building our contribution. Now, if I was to break that down for us today, practically for me, that would mean things like this, that we'd see people attending connect groups and involved in the plan of connecting and growing, that people would be involved in that strategy, where they wouldn't think, no, I don't do connect groups. We need a plan. If you're going to reach the destination, you're not going to get there accidentally. There needs to be a plan. And so we want to have a plan to connect and grow. So that's get people involved in connecting, in connect groups of all kinds. Then secondly, to serve on a team, to intentionally steer people to serve so they're involved and having an expression of living in a bigger world than just ourselves. And then inviting, where we take seriously the commission, the Great Commission, to reach out and extend our reach and to be better at inviting people, bringing people, and building welcoming and inviting environments in what we do in our church. That every one of us take that responsibility to be inviting, to be welcoming, and to be building environments that help people have that experience in a beautiful way. And then finally, with our giving, that every one of us engage a plan to be a consistent financial giver. So that's our plan in terms of the pathway and the journey. That's what I'm going to irritate everybody with all year as we try to achieve this mission, so that I can walk into the office and go, you know what? Our mission was to engage people in community, to engage people in connection, to engage people in contribution, and we have done it. And so our theme for 2020 is moving family forward. It's all about moving family forward. We want to move life forward. We want to move church forward. We want to move everything forward in 2020 because we believe that's God's plan. God's plan is to move life forward and to move us forward. So today I want to talk about the habit of facing forward. The habit of facing forward. You know, if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can't live in the past, because faith doesn't live in the past. Faith always looks to the future. Faith looks forward. And so facing forward is the habit of looking forward. It's thinking forward. It's talking forward. It's living forward. So in terms of family forward, for our church here, we will always be a church and a group of people that have a posture of facing forward. We're not living in the history of the past. We're not living in the monuments of the past. We're not living in the moments of the past. We're living very much in the now, looking forward with faith and looking forward with anticipation and looking forward with expectation. We're looking forward believing that our best days are yet to come. Anyone in the room believe that? I actually believe that. That our best days are yet to come. I don't believe they've been spent. I believe the money is in the bank in terms of faith to move life forward for us on our journeys, and the best is yet to come. It's one of the constant themes in the scriptures. There's verse after verse. Paul says in Philippians 3, brothers and sisters, I don't consider that I've attained everything yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, I'm not going to live in what's behind, I'm straining towards, he says, I'm straining towards what is ahead, and I press on towards the goal to win the prize. That's what we want to do, every one of us. We want to forget the past, and we want to strain forward and press forward for the prize. A verse that Pastor Mara Shell used this morning, Isaiah 43, says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. It springs up before you. Will you not be aware of it? I'm making a way for you in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Then Jesus himself spoke of it in Luke 9, where he says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, don't look back? Don't look back. There's nothing good back there. Nothing good comes from looking back continuously at what has been. Because if you're looking back, you can't go forward. If you're looking back, you can't go forward. Looking back works against God's plan. Looking back affects our service in the kingdom of God. And I think this is one of the biggest challenges for natural families. I think it's one of the biggest challenges for church families. Most families get stuck at some stage. Most dreams get stuck at some stage. Most churches get stuck at some stage because we settle in places we were never intended to settle. We settle in places we were intended to pass through. You know, there are some places in life that your life will pass through and you were never intended to stop there, but you're going to go through it. You're going to go through it. God doesn't promise you won't go through it. He promises he'll walk with you as you do go through it. He promises he will help you on the journey of going through. And I think we make the mistake often of settling in places that were never intended to be destinations. In the book of Genesis chapter 11, there's a man called Terah. And Terah is the father of Abraham. And his plan at this stage in his life was to travel to a place called Canaan, which was to become the promised land, the land of promise for the children of Israel in generations to come. Now, while on the way, Terah comes to a place called Haran. Rather than passing through Haran, he stops. We don't really know why he stopped, but he stopped and settled. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly why he stayed there, but it does tell us he settled there. He broke the journey. He didn't get to where he planned to go. He stopped short. It's surmised that the reason that he stopped short was, earlier on, his son had died at a young age, and his name was Haran. So the thought was, for a lot of commentators, that when Terah came to Haran, it stopped him because he was full of loss and grief. Now, we all have our loss and grief. We all have our circumstances and our situations that impact us, hurt us, that are not designed to stop us. But unfortunately for many of us, we allow it to stop us at a certain stage in life that was meant to be something that God would bring us through. And God always wants to bring us through our pain, our loss, our sorrows. Unfortunately, the pain, the loss, and the sorrows are part of the journey of life that God has for us. They are unavoidable seasons that we will all confront and we'll all face. The truth about them is this: if we keep reliving those moments, we're going to stop living. If we keep reliving those moments, we're going to stop living. So let's not stop and camp and settle in a place we're supposed to pass through. Let's not make it home. Let's not set up camp in a place that we're meant to go through. In other words, don't memorialize past seasons of life, either good or bad. Either good or bad, don't memorialize past seasons of your life. We need to get through what we're going through. Turn to your neighbor and say, get through it. Get through it. We need to get through what we're going through to reach the destination that God has for us. The psalmist David put it like this. He said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know you're with me. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know you are with me. You know, the valley is not a place to stay and linger. It's a place to pass through. There's a mountain for you to get to. It's a place for you to pass through. It's not a place for us to stay and linger. It's not a place to live. It's not a place to reside. It's somewhere God is leading us through. Now, the good news for Abraham was that his story didn't finish with his father Terah, who stopped at this place called Haran and settled short. Because in Genesis 12, we're told this. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those that bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went. You know, when God talks, get going. It says, Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot, his cousin, went with him. Abram was 75 years old. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're never too old. 75 years old, and Abram went. Don't use the excuse, I'm too old. You're not too old. 75, and he went, and he pioneered this new pathway, and he set out from Haran, where his father had stopped, And he took his wife, Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And guess what? They arrived there. They arrived there. If you're going to arrive where God wants you to go, you need to hear from God and you need to obey God. You need to hear from God and you need to follow God. The blessing starts by Abram getting up and getting through the place that they had settled through a season of struggle. I don't know what your struggle is, but I do know you have one. And if you haven't got one, it's on its way. That is the lesson of life. Anyone here with grey hair or no hair knows that lesson. We know that lesson. When you're young and your eyes are bright and they sparkle, you think you're invincible. But when you're older and a little bit wiser and a little bit maturer, you understand that we all have our challenges. Family that moves forward looks forward. Family that moves forward looks forward. Thank God for the rain. We've been praying for rain and now it's raining. Don't complain about what you prayed about. Don't complain about what you prayed about. We move forward with vision. So moving our family forward, when I say moving family forward, moving our church family forward in 2020, I'm asking us all to get on board and be intentionally engaged and keep looking forward. Like Joshua, when he was leader of the children of Israel, and towards the end of his leadership, and he turns to all the other leaders of the tribes of Israel and he says this, he says, as for me and my house, you make up your mind what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Which is easy to say. It's easy to say, but to keep doing it when you're in the middle of the challenge and the struggle and life's not working in the way you want it to work or thought it should work or thought it should be, and the heartache is there and the adversity is there, it's hard to apply that facing forward habit like Joshua has, that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, there's nothing like having family and friends around you that are great examples of how to move life forward when life's not working. Nothing better than having family and friends around that are great examples of moving life forward when a storm hits your world, and yet they keep going and they show you that it can be done. They might not understand everything that's going on, but they walk the faith. They keep trusting God. They're leaning into His Word and His promises. They're still in church. They're lifting their hands when they're hurting. They're singing praise and worship when they don't feel like singing praise and worship, because they know there's a breakthrough in leaning in and pressing in and not observing but serving the heart and the house of God. I love those people in my world. They're inspiring, and I want that kind of family and friends around my world that inspire me to keep going when it gets hard. Anyone else respect and love those people and those family and those friends in your life? Let's be that kind of church. Let's be a church where it's not about perfection, but it's about our participation. It's not about being perfect. You don't have to be perfect to be involved. Let's just get involved and cheer each other on. Let's be no matter what kind of people. We miss the future if we hang on to the past. We miss the future if we hang on to the past. One of the biggest stories about missing out in the Bible is the story in Exodus of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And they went on a journey to the promised land that took 40 years. It should have took 11 days. It took 40 years because they kept looking back, thinking back, talking back. God was providing for them and they were complaining the whole time because they were thinking of Egypt and all the options and variety that they felt they had in Egypt, when in reality in Egypt they were slaves. It wasn't good. God gave them a vision of a better place where they could own their own land, farm their land, build their houses, raise children, be owners, not renters, be occupiers, and build a great legacy. But they were in the middle stage. In the middle stage. You know, when you're in the middle, like I'm in the middle of this sermon right now, and it's pouring rain, and it's really hard. When you're in the middle moments, you lack clarity. When you're in the middle moments, you can be confused. When you're in the middle moment, even a brutal past can look beautiful. Even a brutal past can look beautiful in the middle moments. I want us all to understand you can't assume that you can look back and still experience a beautiful future that God has for you. Because when you look back, you miss out. You miss out. I can't tell you how many times in church I've sat and spoke to people, had people speak to me that were looking back all the time, looking back to an old life, looking back to an old relationship, looking back to an old church, an old moment in faith when they were stronger and yet thinking they could look back and still look forward at the same time. People debating about how we do church and styles and presentation and music and songs and colours in auditoriums and graphics and lights and instruments. Like I remember the days in church when all you were allowed to have was a piano. Anyone remember that? An organ. That's all you were allowed to have. And then we allowed them to have acoustic guitars. Then they got electric guitars. Then we got, God save us, a drummer. And then we had singers across the stage rather than singers on the side. And then we had not just one worship leader, we had numbers of worship leaders. And we've just developed. You just got to stay fluid. You've got to stay fluid. You're not driving the same old car you were 40, 50 years ago. You're not wearing the same clothes you wore 50 years ago. You've upgraded. But for a lot of people, they don't upgrade their faith. They don't upgrade how they do church. They don't upgrade how they do life. They don't upgrade how they think, how they talk. Time to upgrade. Turn to your neighbor and say, upgrade. Upgrade. Go bigger. Go bolder. Go brighter. People debating about issues that nobody really cares about. Nobody cares about it. Nobody cares about little issues, but people hang on to it because they've made a monument about their particular issue. That's better, thank you, God. Some people getting sentimental, sentimentally attached and making a shrine out of a season in church life, thinking it should always be that way and we should still be singing the old songs. I love the old songs because I'm old. But I've realized that in my oldness, I've got to renew myself. I've got to redeem myself. I've got to become the next me. And so do every one of us. I can still sing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. I love that. I can worship God with that. I exalt thee, majesty, majesty. All those old songs that stir so much emotion. But we have a new generation in church that sit there and think, what are you singing, Tony? What are you even talking about? Because they don't know that. And we've got to be engaging all people. All generations, people from all walks of life. We need to live in the now. Ecclesiastes says this, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it's not wise to ask such questions. It's not wise to ask such questions. In other words, the writer Solomon's saying, live in the now of life. Live in the now of life. If you don't live in the now of life, you're going to miss the now and the future because of yesterday. And a lot of people do it. They miss the now and the future because of yesterday. In other words, always looking back. I want to be a now church. I don't want to be yesterday's church. I want to be a now church that becomes a future church is what I want to be. There's been far too many ministries and churches that were once big and effective and they have monuments of buildings and yet they're empty of people because they weren't able to become a now church. And they weren't able to become a future church in the way that God plans for us all to be. So don't say, the writer says, why were the old days better? If you live that way, you're going to miss out on the anticipation, the expectation, and the excitement of a new day. So don't let a monument, rob you of your new moment. And understand this, the devil always tries to put us in a different time zone. A different time zone of the good old days. When church was like this. When family was like this. Move into the now, not the yesterday, so you can embrace the future. And understand the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. So facing forward, our theme for 2020, it's continuing to do what God has called us to do. Continuing to do what God has called us to do. Sometimes moving forward just means continuing. It doesn't even mean doing a new thing. It just means continuing, keeping faithful, keep being consistent, keep full of confidence and keep full of faith. Paul says, being confident of this very one thing. Being confident of this one thing. He says it, but it's not on my screen. Being confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. He who began a good work in you will complete it. So let's be celebrating what God is doing. What God is doing and what God will do. Because God's still doing his thing. God's still moving things forward. You know, the church when it was first born, as we draw to a close, the church when it was first born in Acts chapter 2, it starts with these words. It says, they devoted themselves. The people devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to fellowship, getting together and connecting, building community. To the breaking of bread, communion and prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles and all the believers. Not 70%, not 80%, but all the believers were together and they had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So they gathered like this in rows, and then they gathered in circles in homes. And it says, the people devoted themselves. Here's the deal. I can't devote you. You can only devote yourself. All I can do is invite you. I can't devote you. The key to the favor that God poured out in the book of Acts, and the key to the favor God wants to pour out in these last days, is our devotion. There are a lot of people praying for revival, but they've lacked the devotion that God wanted them to have for now and for the future. It's not just a prayer, it's a behavior. It's not just a prayer, it's a behavior. You can't ask God to do what you're not prepared to do yourself. That's the way we need to apply this. And so I'm asking that as a church, you help us as a team in the application of our mission, which is to strengthen engagement. To strengthen engagement. That we'd be the kind of church that builds through community and connection and contribution. We build our community. We build our connection and we build our contribution together. That we set up our future, not because of our past, but because of the way we approach today. Would you stand to your feet? Can I have our team come to the stage? Moving family forward is what we want to do. We want to be very intentional about that. We want to be very practical about that. It's not some ethereal thing. It's not some thought that will just happen as we meander along and do church. We won't kind of bump into it like Mr. Magoo. It's going to happen because we have an intent, because there is a plan. There's strategy to what we want to achieve. And as a church, for us all to understand that our vision drives, but our mission guides. And we need to be guided by the mission, which is to strengthen the engagement that we have together. God's plans to take you forward. This song we're going to conclude with today, it speaks of that. And I want you to engage with the words of this song as we sing it and draw our service to a close this morning, with the thought of everything that I've shared today about you moving forward with us together as church family, and that we look out for each other that way, and that we steer intentionally and deliberately each other in that direction. I don't want to be a church that people visit. I want to be a church where people settle, and where people grow and become family. Why don't you sing with all your heart? Lift your hands, Mitch, as we sing this song together this morning. Lean in for a few moments, worship God.